The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited you, both of you, may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down, so that when the host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters, or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now, certainly not the point of the text, but upon reading the text for this week in my study, one of the first genuine reactions that I had, right, was, I honest to goodness do not know the last time that I threw or was even invited to a banquet or anything resembling a banquet, right? And I know that this is probably the case for most, maybe not all, but most of you as well. So I think, this is just my opinion, any of us who don't throw those banquets, I think we're off the hook for the rest of our Labor Day weekend and can get on with our activities. And we can let the banquet host figure it out for themselves, huh?
I think that there's probably, maybe, just maybe,
something that we can glean from Jesus' teaching on who we invite to such an event. What I learned from a colleague this week is that this type of banquet and these banquets that would be thrown fit well into the social structure of the honor-shame society that many of our ancient cultures were built upon. When these banquets were thrown, the host would give gifts to those based on their place of honor. And what I was told, the person who held the highest place of honor would receive the best gift and would be expected to then throw a banquet in return. And it was all part of this game and struggle to maintain or increase social status. There was this reciprocity that was expected that could not be given in the same way by those whom Jesus was suggesting be invited instead to the banquet. The poor, the crippled, the lame, or the blind. They could not be expected to throw a banquet in return. But since most of us aren't banquet hosts, we know nothing, absolutely nothing of surrounding ourselves with those who will help us advance instead of associating ourselves with, say, those people, right? That sentence was heavily laden with sarcasm for those who didn't pick up on that. Because in a society that is all about, it's about who you know, not what you know, we still tend to live in these kind of conditional relationships built upon the perceived social value that it can bring. And honestly, to me, that just sounds so damn exhausting to keep up all the time, right? Instead, what Jesus brings us is freedom from these kind of relationships and gives us an invitation into a more genuine space where we might see one another as children of God rather than viewing a person only by their perceived value. Because this is how Jesus treats us when it comes to the table of grace. Because when viewed by our own unrighteousness, not one of us would ordinarily receive a place at the table with Jesus Christ in all of his righteousness. And yet we do. And yet we continue to be invited when we hear these words, "The body and blood of Christ have been given and shed for you." For Christ is not concerned with your status, only that you come to the feast. Because we see it time and time again that Jesus Christ, he is the great equalizer that speaks truth to power, bringing low the mighty and high the powerless. Over and over again, we are also told to act with humility before the Lord. And we find that when we aren't, at least with me, God finds a funny way of humbling us pretty quickly. And humbleness, humility, in recognition that we are equal before God, is the first step towards hospitality. Now, hospitality has become an ever-growing topic in churches as attendance has declined nationally and even globally. I'm sure most of you have noticed, and if you haven't, well, I have some bad news for you. Hospitality, true hospitality, has always been a core tenet of the church, but it's become ever more about how can we welcome in more people. Because, of course, with more people comes more money, right? Or even if it's not money, we expect some sort of participation made clear by our new member forms asking for what gifts and talents do you bring to our community? And with that, all of the church's problems will be magically gone. But Jesus is teaching as a reminder that is not why we gather people in. In fact, we are meant to explicitly welcome those who are in need without the expectation of anything in return. Those without a home, who haven't showered in who knows how long, sitting perhaps in row 7, right alongside us. Or combat veteran Charles, missing 2 of his limbs, sitting in row 12, perhaps. Or the lesbian or queer couple sitting in row 2 as their rights are being questioned in the wider society. But in row 2, of course, because only Jane is bold enough to sit in row 1 in a Lutheran congregation. Our ELCA churches have started saying more and more, right? All are welcome, as a blanket statement to include everybody. It's an easy thing to say. We have it on our sign outside, and it's been there since before I got here. But I've got to tell you, folks, it is a difficult thing in practice to invite in both those with the power to strip a person's rights away and those whose rights are being questioned daily. It's a difficult thing to expect the powerless and marginalized to show up when they are not hearing explicitly how they are going to be protected in this space in a way that they aren't outside of these walls. How are we as people of God going to treat them with the dignity and respect and love that they deserve, that they have received first from God in a way that has been denied them? And if we aren't, then they aren't welcome. And if they aren't welcome, then all are not welcome. But folks, that's where our churches differ from the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, all are indeed welcome. Because Jesus has explicitly said, give me your poor, give me your weak, give me your tired, and give me your broken, and I will give them rest. Jesus' message of hospitality isn't an empty one that's meant to just get people in the door or to the cross. Jesus' message of hospitality is one that is out of genuine relationship and love. Love for a broken world that keeps trying to live into this message despite how difficult it is. Love for the haughty, no matter how many times they need to hear the same message. Love for the lowly that need peace and a place to rest their head. Love for you. For you, that is inviting you into the feast that is set before you. And it is a feast of grace, and it is a feast of mercy as a child of God through the love of Jesus Christ, both now and forever. Amen.